Today, early rate cut hopes dashed by strong Australian jobs data. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics World, and that is Post covering finance and property news. Well, Australia's unemployment rate unexpectedly fell in November as the nation's golden streak of hiring gains extended, underscoring the resilience of the labour market to elevated interest rates and prompted traders to pare back bets of a February rate cut. As Alex Joyner from IFM noted, solid employment growth in November and the tick down in the participation rate sees the unemployment rate get back below 4%. It seems the RBA doesn't particularly need to be in a hurry to cut rates. A February move still has a lot of optionality. It was a big full-time number, and that's encouraging and underscores a very solid print. The Australian dollar rose, while the yield on policy-sensitive two-year notes jumped after the data came out on Thursday from the ABS, showing that the jobless rate slipped to 3.9%, down from 4.1% in the prior month. And that was well below economists' expectations. Employment beat forecasts by rising 35,600 and was driven entirely by full-time jobs, the data showed. The stronger than expected outcome comes the same week as the Reserve Bank Governor Michelle Bullock made a surprisingly dovish tilt, citing weaker economic impulses and the sign of easing price pressures as the central bank kept the key rate on hold at 4.35%. The RBA's dovish leanings in the December policy statement will need to be reassessed, said Farid Syed, an economist at Citigroup. We stick with the first cut occurring in May, but reiterate the risk that the first easing does not occur until August 2025, making the RBA a further outlier from global peers. After quickly chopping interest rates down from the highest level in two decades, the Bank of Canada is pivoting to a more gradual pace of adjustments, pushing back on expectations of a rush to cheaper borrowing costs. On Wednesday, officials cut the benchmark overnight rate by 50 basis points to 3.25%, bringing the tally to 175 basis points of easing in a little over half a year. But in their statement, the bank removed an explicit reference that they were expecting to reduce the policy rate further, replacing that with wording that suggested they'll evaluate the need for further reductions in the policy rate one decision at a time. Governor Tiff Macklem has cut interest rates faster and deeper than central banks and other advanced economies this year, with monetary policy back to less restrictive territory. He's now signalling that more outsized cuts are likely off the table, and reductions at each meeting going forward aren't a given, rebutting the idea that he's rushing to stimulative borrowing costs. Still, most economists saw the consecutive back-to-back half percentage point cuts as a faster way to get where the bank knew they wanted to be, the neutral range, a theoretical level of interest rates that neither stimulates nor restricts economic growth. The central bank estimates that range to be somewhere between 2.25% and 3.25%. Once inflation clearly had melted away as a big risk, there was room to accelerate the pace of rate cuts because delaying that would then delay getting the economy back on its feet again. The European Central Bank is set to cut interest rates for the fourth time this year, loosening constraints on the region's struggling economy as inflation nears 2%. Pretty much everybody is now expecting another 0.25% reduction in the deposit rate on Thursday to 3%. Only JP Morgan Chase sees a bigger 0.5% move, arguing that recent data points to softer growth and inflation. An obvious shortcoming in this round of projections is what they don't contain, a potential trade conflict with the US for one, but also the fiscal effect of new governments in Germany and France that could be addressed by exploring alternative scenarios as the ECB has sometimes done in the past. Now, over in the US, fresh inflation figures are likely to make the Federal Reserve more cautious about the pace of interest rate cuts, but not quite yet. Investors still widely expecting the US central bank to cut borrowing costs by a 0.25% next week after a new report showed inflation rose in November in line with expectations. But persistent price pressures have also scored concerns that progress towards the US central bank's 2% target may be stalling. Those concerns could prompt officials to rein in the number of rate cuts they anticipate in 2025 as they wait for more confirmation that inflation is on track to reach their goal. Just 3 months ago, the Fed kicked off its cycle of cuts with an aggressive half-point move driven by growing worries that a cooling US labor market was nearing a dangerous tipping point. A cut next week could be the Fed's third straight reduction and lower the federal fund rates to a range of 4.25 to 4.5%, a full percentage point below where it stood at the beginning of September. That's still well below the 2.9% median estimate submitted by policymakers in September for where they see rates ultimately settling. They're just not in as much of a hurry to get there. The November data released on Wednesday by the Bureau of Labor Statistics showed core inflation, which excludes volatile food and energy costs, rose by 0.3% for the fourth straight month. From a year ago, it's risen 3.3%. Shelter costs, a source of stubborn inflation, cooled from the previous month, but goods prices, excluding food and energy, an area where costs have been falling, climbed 0.3%. That's the most since May 2023. Traders have reacted by ramping up to 90% the probability of that they see the Fed cutting rates next week, boosting those odds from around 80% prior to the inflation release. Traders paired expectations of the RBA easing, pricing the chance of a cut in February back to a 50-50 from more than 70% prior to the jobs print. The timing of follow-up cuts were also pushed out again, according to the latest data. While sentiment is swinging away from February cut, the central bank may decide that weaker economic and wage growth and signs of slowing inflation enough to ease policy, said Andrew Ticehurst, a senior rate strategist at Nomura in Sydney. Low inflation can still allow a rate cut, even if today's unemployment rate does not suggest we require one. Now, as we look in more detail at the ABS release, it's worth noting that the shift lower cannot be directly sheeted to a change in the composition of the survey groups. The October and November outgoing groups had an unemployment rate of 3.7%. The incoming group has a 3.8% reading. Employment grew by 0.2% in November 24, following an average monthly rise of 0.3% since the middle of 2024. That's in line with recent population growth. The participation rate fell by 0.1 percentage points to 67% in November from the historic high of 67.1% in September. And despite the fall, the participation rate was the same as a year ago and 1.5 percentage points higher than in March 2020, the ABS said. The employment to population ratio rose marginally to 64.4%, equal to the level a year ago, and a 2.2 percentage point above the pre-pandemic level. The recent growth in population has boosted the labour supply as employment has kept up with population growth, the ABS said. Seasonally adjusted monthly hours worked fell marginally in November, dropping from the previous average monthly increase of around 0.3% between June and October. This month marks the first time in 6 months when hours worked growth did not match employment growth. Despite the slight fall in hours worked in November, hours grew over the year in line with employment and population growth, the ABS said. The underemployment rate fell 0.1 percentage points to 6.1% in November. That is 0.6 percentage points lower than November 2023 and 2.6 percentage points lower than March 2020. The underutilization rate, which combines the unemployment and underemployment rate, dropped 0.3 percentage points to 10%. This is 3.9 percentage points lower than March 2020. Across the states, the unemployment rate was as low as 2.9% in the ACT and 3.3% in Western Australia, but was at 4.2% in Victoria, which has the highest rate of unemployment at the moment. Underemployment was the highest in South Australia and Tasmania. Now, looking at the trend data, which tries to smooth out some of the lumps and bumps, the unemployment rate remained at 4%. That's in line with the revised figure for October. In trend terms, employment grew by around 35,000 people at 0.2%. and was at the same rate as the 20-year pre-pandemic average, again at 0.2%. Hours worked grew at the same pace as employment, rising by 0.2%. The employment to population ratio and participation rate remained at the historic highs of 64.4% and 67.1% in November. The underemployment rate remained at 6.2%, and with the unemployment rate steady at 4%, the underutilization rate also stayed at 10.2%. Compared with outcomes before the COVID-19 pandemic, the unemployment and underemployment measures are still low, while trend employment and participation measures are around all-time highs. This suggests the labor market continues to be relatively tight, the ABS said. So there is nothing here in these numbers that would suggest the RBA needs to move quickly. Remember, of course, inflation remains above target, and they are not seeing inflation coming back into band until later next year. Therefore, given the fact that the labour market still looks to be performing well, and we seem to be absorbing the extra people coming into the country, the migration rate still remains very high, as the latest data showed this week, there is very little need for the RBA to move from a jobs perspective. So it comes back to the future trajectory of inflation. Well, at the moment, there is just nothing here on the radar to suggest that the RBA should move, despite the fact that there are more commentators baying for those rate cuts. And this, of course, is going to put more pressure on households into 2025. The RBA has two mandates. The first, employment. The second, controlling inflation. Well, employment is just fine. Therefore, the focus is on inflation for now. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.